Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift with Mike, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan at 8:02. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
You know, there is one conversation that we had one time in a wake-up call that we need to probably get Allie's opinion on. Allie, how often, you guys are going to laugh, how often do you wash your calf muscles?
What?
Had this conversation one time about the difference. Well, first of all, there's definitely a cultural difference here, but it was like, I think I got pegged as, I wouldn't say I wash my calves every single time I'm in the shower or the bath. Like,
really?
one out of every three, maybe.
I want your calf muscles?
Yeah.
Just hope the soap runs down.
Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes when I'm just getting a car wash, you know, I'm just getting in there and just doing double pits to chesty.
But you know what? Because the soap might be dirty from the chest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, I'm not saying I don't. Just one out of every three.
You should put soap on every part of your
Dylan
body.
Dylan definitely said this is a white people thing. He's like, yo, straight up.
I don't want to put everybody in that box.
Well, do you wash every day?
I do, and I'd wash my calf muscles every time.
So do I.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. So
not
it's,
every time. I mean, hold on. Like, so do you take what? Do you take what you call a rinse off?
What do you mean?
That's what I just called a car wash.
So
yeah.
Just, so
I'm in and out.
So I take 2 showers a day.
Okay.
I'll start with the night one because I think it's important to say that, you know, you take one late in the afternoon or, you know, early night and you wash everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hair, everything.
Yes.
The one in the morning I take, which is my wake me up shower. You know, I hit a couple hot spots, face, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Then the calf muscles don't get hit, but they're not dirty.
Yeah.
That's kind of my point.
But
fine.
They get washed every day. You just said that you don't wash yours every day.
I don't
day.
Know. Remember, we had this conversation about a year ago on the show, and it was like, I had a lot of people back me like, I don't wash my calves every day. I just don't. Like, one out of every three.
I know this is a thing, and there have been doctors have come out and said it's okay not to wash your legs because the soap does run down.
Yeah.
I still focus on the legs.
Yeah.
Well, look, it depends on what the day's activity was.
Not
for
to
sure.
Get personal, but how many showers a day you take, Mike?
Just one.
Dylan?
One.
Man.
Two.
So, yeah.
You before you come to work?
Before work, but I'm opposite. So I do the like good one in the morning and like a rinse off after a workout
in
the afternoon.
Car wash.
Yeah, a little car wash. Sure. Put on the PJs.
Sure.
Well, they do say, you know, there's different takes. Like, some people say that you're the reason you should change your sheets, like some people say twice a week, is because like at night, you know, your body it expels stuff. But you know who's a shower? You know who's a weirdo about the shower? Since we're talking about other shows today,
yeah.
Carl Dukes, he takes like 5 showers a day.
Okay, that's just wasteful.
That's just doing too much.
We talked about this years ago. I think it was during the COVID era because I remember we were all sitting there on Zoom and he was like, yeah, I take like 5 showers a day.
Like, you're spending an hour a day in the shower.
That's doing way too much.
I mean, so that's a little bit much. I had to put his business out there, but I mean, you know what? We're in radio. Our business is all I mean, it's just out there. It's just a part of life.
Yeah, I wonder how many showers a day Aaron Rodgers takes. I don't feel like any. Most of the time.
He looks dirty.
Yeah. Oh,
Aaron Rodgers gives me big Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis vibes.
You know why?
To wear.
Natural deodorant.
You know the biggest thing that people forget about Aaron Rodgers, Dylan?
What's that?
Is where he went to college.
Cal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so there's a really good chance.
Yeah.
At one point in time, he chained himself to a tree. He went about 2 weeks without a shower. I mean, that's, you know, that's just
definitely
how
on
it
his ayahuasca journey. He wasn't taking any showers during that whole retreat.
Oh, I know. It's a darkness retreat.
Darkness retreat. Definitely didn't take a shower.
I could see him spraying some Axe body spray on himself.
Oh, my gosh. That is not in place of a shower. We got to talk about this because that's a carryover from Mic'd Up. But if you do want to get your calls in for a wake-up call, it's 404-726-0929. If you want to tell us how many showers you take a day, feel free. Do you wash your legs when you take the shower? And we're also talking.
And be honest with us.
Be honest. We're also talking about the top 20 Falcons, most important Falcons for this season. Mike and Bo have put their opinions out there. You can check them out on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. Tell us if you agree or not. 404-726-0929. So the carryover from Mic'd Up was start, bench, and P squad. And the quarterbacks you're going with are Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I said this. It's going to be a real shame that I have to put a four-time MVP on the P-Squad, but that's kind of where we're at in this conversation with these two other guys. And they are, to me, they're the best of the best at this given point. I know that Patrick Mahomes is widely viewed as the number one quarterback in the NFL. I think one of these two guys is the number one quarterback in the NFL, and that's why you're talking about, you know, MVPs for both of them.
No, I think Patrick Mahomes is number one. I firmly believe that these guys are 2A and 2B. They had very – it's weird because last season there was one side, Allie. There was the Lamar Jackson MVP, and then there was the Josh Allen MVP. Mm-hmm. I think Josh Allen meant more to the Bills because of what Lamar had around him last year. But that doesn't take anything away from a better statistical year that Lamar Jackson put together than his two MVP seasons.
It's a tough choice.
To me, I would you know what I would do? I would say I'm going to run a two-quarterback system.
You know, you wouldn't go with the old Bobby Bowden where he's like, if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one.
I would start both guys 8 games and then in the 17th game, which would be the 9th game, they'd have to pay for rock scissors for it.
Yeah, Rochambeau. I'm probably going to put Lamar Jackson as my number one here and start him. Josh Allen would be the backup because I think Josh Allen's style of play, regardless of what Arthur Blank has to say about Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen's style of play means that I'm probably not going to get 17 out of him. It's going to be tough. And obviously you got that last year, but he runs so physically downhill, and that's when that team's at their best. Now, they haven't always asked him to do that, but that's when that team's at their best offensively is when he's running and toting the pill a pretty good amount. So. Yeah,
well, he played 16 and 19. 16 and 20, 17 and 21, because that's when they went to the 17-game schedule. 16, 17, 17. So I beg the differ that you're not going to get a full season out of Josh Allen. Okay. But I understand your point. I think you could say the same about Lamar.
Yeah. All right, let's go out to the phone lines real quick. Let's get some wake-up calls. 404-726-0929. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Hey, let's go out to Chris in College Park. Chris, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Living the dream.
Yeah, yeah. Fearless leader.
Sir?
All-American.
Living it.
Allie Mack.
Yo.
Yo, that's what's up. Hey, man, I'm enjoying the top 20 list by you two. Very provocative and thought-provoking. And here are two, my top two, man. And if you know, as I've been calling the show for a few years now, it's Bijan Robinson, man, is number one.
Yeah.
All I've heard is a running back is a young quarterback's best friend. As a matter of fact, a running back is any quarterback's best friend. And I'm just looking for them to give it to Bijan, pass it to Bijan, pitch it to Bijan. I know he had a good year with 1,500 yards rushing. I can't remember the receiving. But the 1,500 felt quiet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
More impact and set – the defense up with Bijan helped Penix come along and eat up that clock. And then number two, and I call him the miracle baby, Jalen Walker. Mm. For him to fall to us, and I know that's a lot on a rookie to be the, you know, the second most important player and not the quarterback, but with him falling to us to the 15, being a Georgia player, and now that we have young talent on defense. You know, Rook's coming back second year. Trice will be coming back after the injury. We got Pierce, and then we got the two DBs. It just feels like Walker, what I want him to do is take that mantle, you know, shape this defense and be the leader, and that's why I think he's important.
Yeah.
And on that note, I'll sit back and let you listen, but let me see if you're awake. Big Mike.
Yo.
Because I'm going full Squid Billy this morning. By the way.
Ding.
Hashtag Squid Nation. Hashtag Squid Squad.
Love it.
Absolutely love that, man. Great phone call from Chris. And I think one of the most contentious decisions we have made. We've named 20 through 16. But Jalen Walker was a tough one. Because to his point, you don't want to, like, how much you're going to put on a rookie as being a most important player. But we have a lot invested in this rookie, and he is a number 15 overall pick, and he's one of those guys that you feel like should, you know, probably have a massive impact on what this defense is doing this year.
He's on the list. We've unveiled the list. We haven't unveiled the rankings. We've unveiled 20 through 16. I think 15 through 11 is coming up next.
Yeah.
So that's part of it, but I don't think he's ranked unfairly.
Yeah. And I'd be curious, and obviously the conversation around Bijan and whether or not he's the most important player will be one that continues as well. And you're right, we're going to get through 15 through 11 coming up at the 8:20 mark. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's get Marine Tim out in Decatur. Marine Tim, I hope you're having a good morning, buddy. What's going on?
I am having a wonderful morning so far. Squid Nation, way to go.
Here we go.
Although I do have one bone to pick with you there, Squid Billy.
Oh, here we go.
There is no changing Pork Chop.
Well, hear me out.
He's the original.
Hear me out, Marine Tim. She had her measurements the other day, and she's like 24 inches, and she's actually is longer than she is Porky. So I said pork loin.
Yeah,
that was just a thought.
There you
but you know what? I'll yield to you. We can keep the pork chop.
Minimum one shower a day. The only thing that I will say different than that is I only shave once or twice a week.
There you go. I'm kind of along the same lines
as
that, too.
Just the neared.
Yeah,
I trim the beard and shave the neared.
I appreciate the phone call, Marine
Isn't
Tim.
Isn't it nice to be a dude?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm only one shower a day, though. I stopped trying to get two in, like, even if I go for a run or whatever. Like, my kids are probably, like, the likelihood that my kids come home and my son's all of a sudden like, hey, let's go out in the backyard. I'm like, okay, I just showered.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I might as well put it off as long as I can. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's bring in our buddy Dan over in Decatur. Dan, I hope you're having a great morning, friend.
I'm having a great morning, Mike. WTF, brother. How you miss the calf muscles, man?
I don't miss just one out of every three. Just one out of every three.
I'm riding in my van and I start doing the motion of how I wash in the shower and I'm like, damn, I'm trying to make sure I don't miss my calf muscles, dude.
He's going through the movement.
Hold on, wait. Yeah, I had to make sure. I said, man, but it's all good, brother. I agree with you guys with the first quarterback thing because see, I was born in Seattle. I was raised in Atlanta, so I love my Seahawks and I love the Falcons.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of Geno, dude. When Russell exited and they elevated him to the starting quarterback, I wasn't a fan of Geno. I'm not saying dude is totally terrible, but I just wasn't a fan. And I'm more of a guy like a quarterback who extends plays, you know. So
yep.
I agree with the last list.
Yeah.
Lamar is first. Josh Allen is second. And then, the prima donna can definitely go to the practice squad. He acts like such a diva, man.
Yeah.
I just don't have time for that, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't got – you're gray at this point, and you still just act like you put slick gel in your hair and you just shine your skin. And I'm Aaron Rodgers, just a pretty boy movie star. Just everybody just pucker up your – ain't nobody got time for that. Got time for that. So, you know, do your thing, man. Shout out to y'all. Big Mike,
yeah.
Squid Beezy, Mac Truck. Y'all have a great day, man.
Mac Truck, I'm going with that from now on. Great call, though. And it is funny, man. You talk about Aaron Rodgers when he does have the dress-up occasions, or he used to anyways, get the slick back hair. I wonder what he looked like at his wedding.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Did he just go straight, slick, straight back?
You know, his family's saying that didn't happen. So I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, they've said that.
Yeah,
now.
That's not a good relationship.
He's estranged from his family.
I know.
Yeah. I guess if they weren't there, it didn't happen. And dude, I wonder more who he married and what she looks like, and I think really more than what she looks like is like what is she into, because he's been all over the place. He had Shailene Woodley, the actress. He had Danica Patrick as a girlfriend. There was somebody else in there as well, but like
Olivia Munn,
like. So just kind of what kind of human being has decided, you know what, I'm going to go on ayahuasca retreat every other year with my now significant other.
Probably someone that loves hot yoga. Well.
And acid.
The count countdown carries on. Mike and Bo will continue the top 20 most important Falcons for this season. We've got 15 through 11 coming up. That is next with the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And the Odyssey app.
Cheater.
Thanks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
For spending some of your morning with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, it's the Morning Shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mack. You can follow us on Twitter, X. Mike is at MPJohnson78. Bo is at SquidBilly929. Myself, Ali Mack, I'm at Ali Mack Radio. All of us together, our forces combined at 929 Morning Shift.
Captain Planet.
We're about to get to the ranking of the top 20 most important players, but I definitely want to remind you that the fellas here had a chance to talk with Ryan Blaney yesterday, which we're going to play at 8:40. Bo, I know Blaney's your guy. It seems like he lived up to everything you thought he would be.
Yeah, he was awesome. And he was kind of what he's been in interviews with people that, you know, he does interviews with daily. Not daily, but weekly. He does something on the SiriusXM channel weekly. And he was that's kind of who he was. He was loose with us. He answered really thorough. But he's my dude, and I was a little bit worried because I don't like interviewing people. So it's different for me with the Falcons because you're around them all the time and you kind of, you know, I don't know why, but it's really different with me with the Atlanta sports teams mm-hmm. now. NASCAR is something that I'm away from and I don't cover as much, maybe once, twice a year.
Right.
And so the fan in me is still alive there, right? And so if, for me, as someone who's a Blaney fan, has all this Blaney stuff. I've got, you know, the diecast championship car, the shirts, the all that. If he was a jerk, it would have like really thrown me off.
Destroyed you.
Really thrown me off.
He's
yeah.
become somewhat of the face of NASCAR, honestly. There was a younger push 10 years ago with a lot of younger drivers. He was one of them. Him, Chase Elliott, Bubba Wallace. The list goes on. And he was part of that. And now he's won a championship, and he's had the model wife and, like, all kinds of things going on with him. He's kind of become the face of NASCAR because he does, you know, do so well in interviews, and he's very personable. So it was so cool to catch up with him and obviously previewing next week's Quaker State 400 available at Walmart at the Echo Chamber.
Well, so. You guys were both fired up this morning about that interview, so I'm excited to hear it. That is coming up at 8:40. Right now we're diving back into the top 20 most important players on the Falcons this season, according to Mike and Bo. You guys ran through 20 through 16 before. It was Warner, Anderson, Hughes, Ebikadi, and Rook. So now we're moving on to the 15th place. Who do you have there?
At 15, drumroll please. We have James Pierce.
Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't find one.
I was like, the dramatic effect is gone, man.
Well,
the dramatic effect is gone.
As usual, I do everything in chicken scratch, and instead of rewriting them out in the order, I just put the number beside them. Look, yeah. James Pierce is the 26th overall pick for this team. He's 2026 his first round pick essentially. You need performance from him. Like, you need him to get some sacks. He's an important player for this defense because I think Jalen Walker is going to do a plethora of things, including coming off the edge and stopping the run. But to me, James Pierce's designated role is pass rusher.
Yeah.
So it's very important that he can get there. He's the guy that led the SEC in pressures the last 2 years. He's very polished when it comes to an edge rusher. And so his growth will be in other areas, but I need him as an edge rusher first and foremost.
Yeah, and I think the difficulty I have with this one, and Allie, as we talked about earlier, I did not include James Pierce in my initial list of top 20. But once we kind of got down to it and started breaking it down, I gave on the James Pierce conversation. And the one thing I started realizing was, you know, Bo had a lot more defensive linemen that was edge rushers included than I did in my top 20 list. And I think what happened, I became a victim of just watering things down, where it's like a lot of names you feel like you're relying on for the sack totals instead of just one, you know, incredible edge rusher. So, yeah, he lands there at 15. I think that if he can have a great year, it obviously does send you over to the edge. I don't think I'm necessarily relying on him, but I think when you talked about the most important players, if he is able to get statistically where you want him to be in terms of being a first-round edge rusher, then yes, this team is probably playoff-bound if James Pierce is getting 8 sacks.
Okay. Well, let's move on to 14th place.
14 for me is a really, really big one, and I struggled not ranking him higher. That's Caleb McGarry. He's a starting right tackle, and he has been one of those guys that has been in the crosshairs of Falcons fans for years now. He has a lot of good traits to me in terms of being a right tackle, and that is in run blocking. He has been suspect in the passing game, and I think a lot of people, you know, point to the fact that it's a left-handed quarterback now, and he's the blindside guy, and he struggles with heavy feet at time in pass protection, and he got exposed by T.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney a year ago. I think he's gotten better every year, and we've talked about this numerous times here about Caleb McGarry. I think he's gotten better every single year. I still think that he does need help from time to time. And needs chip blocks and, you know, tight ends next to him. So do most right tackles against T.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and some of the other pieces. He gives you so much upside in the run game, though. But, again, most important players, guys, you need to step up to the plate if you're going to make a run at the playoffs. Caleb McGarry landing at 14 to me was a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a big Caleb McGarry guy, much more than most people in this city. And to me, He did have his best year last year, but the bottom line is that you need him with the blind side being his best version. And I don't know how much longer he's going to be here. This is the last year of his deal, if I'm not mistaken. But you everything else is pretty solid on that offensive line. I think the biggest question mark is how does Newsel step in, but we saw how he played last year in 8 games, and can McGarry hold up with what people make a big deal about the blind side, which to me, I think that's kind of changed in the NFL.
I think it is.
I don't think
you're going to move the spot a lot.
Not to mention, it's not like Penix is a sitting duck. This whole thing that he can't move is so ridiculous and a false narrative.
I hear it being said both ways. I hear that he can't move, and then some people think he's a dual threat quarterback. It's like, no, man. He's probably been a little bit of both throughout his time in college.
He was at Indiana a dual threat quarterback, and then in Washington he was a pocket passer. So to me, I think he can do it. I just don't think he's not going to do it a ton because of those injuries that he had.
All right. Coming in 13th place, who do you have?
I have at 13, Chris Lindstrom. Is that not correct? Is that not what you have? Yeah.
We have a mix up.
Yeah. Got AJ Terrell.
No, you have AJ Terrell in the top 10 at.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
AJ Terrell is 4.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Chris Lindstrom is at 13, and he goes hand in hand with McGarry. That McGarry is better when Chris Lindstrom's in there, and Lindstrom doesn't step on McGarry's foot. But they are a tandem. Those guys have played together, other than a few games when one or two was injured, their entire careers. And with Lindstrom in there, your offensive line he's an All-Pro. It's instantly better with Lindstrom in there. The interior with Lindstrom and Bergeron and how they affect the center position is huge. And one thing I learned very quickly from a quarterback, not an offensive line, but a quarterback, and I think the offensive line would back me up, is the pocket alley is designed to where the middle holds up and the tackles push the edge rushers around the quarterback. And if the middle holds their ground, you can step up into the pocket 100%. And make throws and sometimes escape.
And that's why you see sometimes there's a couple of different ways of doing it. You'll have guys that will double team the nose and make sure that middle of the pocket is absolutely, you know, stout. But there's also guys like Chris Lindstrom that will go to his right, help out Caleb McGarry, and then clean out whoever the center is playing against. So you create that kind of step-up lane that a lot of quarterbacks like to throw through.
All right, let's move on to 12th place.
This is tough. We have Younghoe Koo at number 12, and he could have been higher or lower. Don't know what to expect out of Younghoe Koo, right? But I think I think it goes without saying that your kicker has to be spot on. We, last couple of years, Younghoe Koo has cost us games. He's won games over the course of his career, but the kicking spot has lost you games as well. And you go back to just some of the big kicks that you don't necessarily expect him to make, but Younghoe Koo in his prime probably would have. And so if he can step up to the plate, I feel comfortable putting Younghoe Koo right there at number 12. I think right there in the middle of this top 20 list is kind of where he belongs.
Arguably, I think he might be too low on the list, as in like 12, he should be higher than 12, like maybe 8 or 9. But you can't blame an entire game on one kick. You really can't. You just, that's just not how it is. There's so many. There's 5 to 7 plays that win football games in the NFL every week.
And coming in at the 11th spot, this is the last one we have time for.
It's Darnell Mooney. He completely allowed Drake London to kind of be separated. That and more the most competent quarterback play you've gotten, even with that stretch. He's an everything guy. He's a yak guy. He's a stretch to field guy. You can use him in the middle there. You know, he's very reliable. At times, at Kirk Cousins, when he was running it, he just used him to make a really big catch, like against Tampa Bay on Thursday night. Go up, climb that ladder, go make that catch. He was even used in that Washington game, but that didn't connect, where they needed, you know, you needed a big out route, right, where he's crossing the field because of his speed, and you got to connect with him. He makes the passing game very dangerous.
Yeah, 2 years ago you drafted Bijan Robinson to become more explosive offensively, but then you went and signed Mac Hollins and Scotty Miller and traded for Van Jefferson and tried to piecemeal together a wide receiver core. Didn't work. So you went and signed Darnell Mooney, a guy you know can take the top off the thing. All of a sudden your offense is more explosive than it's ever been. So you love what you see in Darnell Mooney and what he brings to that wide receiver core. So I think he fits perfectly right there at number 11.
Well, we still have the top 10 to reveal of the top 20 most important players on the Falcons this season, according to Mike and Bo. If you want to check the numbers 20 through 11, they're available on Twitter at 929MorningShift. And coming up next, we've got the conversation that Bo and Mike had with NASCAR driver Ryan Blaney. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Morning Shift. It's Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, and Miss Allie Mack. And we are pleased to be joined by NASCAR champion, Mr. Ryan Blaney, driver of the 12 car. Fresh off a trip, Ryan, down to Mexico City, man. Hope you're doing well. How did the trip down to Mexico go? It looked like a lot of fanfare down there.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend, honestly. And, you know, I thought the track put on a great race. A lot of kind of unknowns, obviously, when you go to a place, you know, a track for the first time and just trying to learn it, you know, through the weekend and then getting a little bit of a curveball thrown our way with it raining at the start of it and not making any laps in the wet before. But I thought that was fun. It's like, how do you learn under fire like that? You know, how do you and your team and me as a driver, like, how do you get the most out of your car after not making any laps in practice in the wet and just throwing on rain tires? And like, all right, well, here we go. I don't know how to drive this place in the wet. So you just learn, you know, as you're in it. And but I thought it was great. It was a fun weekend. The fans out there were awesome. It was so cool to meet everybody, you know, through the weekend, you know, day of the race, stuff like that. It was a lot of people have maybe never seen a cup race before. You know, I met a lot that maybe it was their first race in general, but I also met a lot that were huge fans of the NASCAR Mexico Series. So they're already motorsports fans. It was cool that they could come, you know, see us compete, and it was neat for us, you know, to compete for those folks. So it was a good weekend, and you know, but now it's turning the page and moving on to Pocono.
Well, before we do that, and look, I got to admit to you, Bo and I are both massive NASCAR fans. I've followed your career for a long time, so we're excited to have you on. There's something you said, Ryan. I think it was 10 or 11 years ago, the old 12 questions with Jeff Gluck. And I think about this every single time. And I thought about it watching the race at Mexico where you guys drive through the stands. You said something to Jeff Gluck about it had to have been at least 11 years ago. You said if you could design a racetrack, that you would design a road course, but it would have 20-degree banking. I swear, since you said that, I have thought about nothing like that. And then all of a sudden, when you guys go to Mexico City and you have such a unique track like that, where are we at on the 20-degree Texas-style banking on the road course? You're a champion now. I feel like you can pull some strings.
Yeah, you know, that's funny that you brought that up because I did another 12 questions with Gluck this past weekend, and he brought that up. He's like, you know, 10, 12 years ago, this is what you said. He's like, is your answer still the same? I was like, yeah, man. Like, yeah, that'd be a cool racetrack. You know, have like a super long, well, I mean, gosh, Mexico City had it. You know, like their front straightaway is like 30 feet shorter than Talladega backstretch, right? So just a massive, massive straightaway. But then I think that'd be cool to have that straightaway and then into like a Talladega style banking. I think that'd be super cool. So yeah, I think my track layout design is still the same. If I ever can, you know, if I hit the lottery and can build a racetrack, I think that'd be still the way to go.
2023 NASCAR Cup champion Ryan Blaney joining us here on the morning shift. You know, you're going, I believe, this week to Pocono. That's a place where you got your first actual Cup Series win. And you really, that you had to fight for that one. I remember watching that, you and Kyle Busch, you and Kevin Harvick, y'all kind of battled that out. What was that like in that first victory, battling those two Cup champions for your first Cup win?
Yeah, super cool. That was a special day, obviously, and something you never forget is your first, you know, win in any series, honestly, and especially your first cup win. Yeah, it definitely wasn't the most relaxing end of the race. You know, having to battle, you know, Kyle Busch there for the lead, and then I get the lead. I'm like, okay, I think I got smooth sailing to the end. The next thing I know, Harvick is just breathing down my neck, and it's like, all right, don't make a mistake now and give this thing away and miss out on a big opportunity. So I go back and see highlights of that race every now and then. It brings back some good memories, you know, of that day, that evening, just being able to celebrate with your, you know, your team that go to, you know, war with you every single week. And so, yeah, that was a fun day, and you'll never forget those first ones. And it was, you know, makes it special every time you go back to that place. And it was cool to win there again last year, you know, 7 years later from the first one. And we'll try to do the same thing again. We'll try to repeat it.
Ryan, Mike told you, you know, we're massive NASCAR fans. I noticed, I'm assuming you posted on Spotify as well, but I always see it on Instagram. You post like a screenshot of your playlist for each track. Like, how do you come up with that playlist? Because you're a big Whiskey Myers guy. We're big Whiskey Myers guys. We listen. We were here. They came to Atlanta. We went. You've always seems to have some kind of variation of a Whiskey Myers type band. How do you come up with that playlist before each race?
Yeah, the Spotify playlist is something that we've been doing, you know, the last couple of years, and it's kind of a combo between myself and Justin, you know, a guy who works for me and buddy of mine, and we try to do songs, you know, whether it's new ones that kind of I hear through, you know, the past week or month, or it's kind of bands from that area of where we're going, or maybe they sing about that area of where we're going. So it's just kind of a unique thing. It was his idea. Honestly, I can't really take credit for the idea, but it's been really fun because I hear people, you know, like you guys come up and be like, man, I like the playlist. I really got to enjoy this band because of this playlist or things like that. And it's just a fun way to discover new music. You know, so I, like you said, Whiskey Myers, those guys are awesome. One of my favorite, you know, bands and artists out there. You know, so it's been fun to get to know those guys. They're huge race fans too. So it's fun when kind of worlds can collide like that of, hey, I'm a fan of your stuff. And they're like, yeah, I'm a fan of what you do too. And you just create this relationship, that way. And I go try to see them every time I can. If the stars align and I can go see those guys perform, they put on, they're one of the best live shows, honestly, that I've ever seen. So yeah, the playlist is fun. I'm happy people like it. And it's always fun to throw some new stuff on there.
Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12 car, hanging out with us today on the morning shift, previewing the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart down at the newly dubbed Echo Park Speedway. That'll be a Saturday night race. I'm assuming, Ryan, that you enjoy the night racing. Obviously, with it being Saturday night down at Echo Park Speedway next weekend, it's a little bit different. It is a drafting style track. What do you expect to be different this time around as opposed to back in February? It's always an exciting race down at Echo Park Speedway since the redesign, but what do you think is going to be different this time around specifically in regards to this track?
Yeah, it always does, you know, put on an exciting show. And, you know, I feel like a place is super tricky because, you know, since the repave, you know, a few years ago, the track changes every time we go back. You know, it just ages every single time. And so now, right, honestly, the handling gets worse and worse every time we go there. So it's how do you balance that out of, like, since it's a drafting track now, it's like, how do you balance the drag versus downforce side of it? So I feel like every time we go back, that's always the play. It's like, all right, how much grip do we think it lost from the previous race to now? And how do we set our car up? Like, do you tune a little bit more downforce in it to where you can be more aggressive, or hey, you know, you don't want to put too much downforce in it because now you're too slow in the draft. So it's always that little balance, and it's just the unknown of that place. How much grip it loses every single time. That's really tough. But now you add in, right, it's Saturday night. All right, the track's going to be cooler. It's going to have a little bit more grip than what we think. So how do you adjust to that? But it is going to be warm. You know, Saturday night, it's going to be warm here in June. So I love that place. It's a ton of fun. It's not your typical drafting track like a Daytona Talladega. Like, handling is way worse than those places. I feel like there's more areas to make moves. And if your car is handling well, you can actually drive from the back to the front, as opposed to it's a little bit tougher at like Talladega, Daytona. So I look forward to going there. We've ran really good there. I'd like to win at that place. I won there before the repave. And we've been close a couple times. I think we run second there by 4 inches, you know, a couple years ago. So hopefully we can find our way to victory lane, because that place is so much fun. Fans there are great. And it always puts on a good show, like y'all said.
There you have it. That's part one of the interview from myself and Squidbilly and Mr. Ryan Blaney.
Yeah. Now, you know, I wasn't going to let this go. Like, we couldn't just fit in like a 10-minute span. That was like a 20-minute interview.
I kept looking at Bo going, hey, we gotta let this guy go. We've had him on the phone for 20 minutes.
Is it one of those things they told you, like, you've got 10 minutes, and then you just kind of kept on asking questions?
Yeah. No, but so at one point, Mike goes, yeah, we kind of got a light last thing for you. I go, yeah, I mean, I got some rapid-fire questions. But I did, when we interviewed Joey Logano, we interviewed him, and then we had him a second time, and I'm not a big Joey Logano fan at all. In fact, I'm just now starting to say his name again, and that's because he's been nice to us in interviews. But Mike was absent on the second one. I did it myself. And this was back, I think, in like what, February?
Yeah, I think it was.
Allie, I kept him for so long that his PR person said, all right, this has got to be the last one.
Really?
Because we're talking NASCAR. He gave me some parental advice.
There you know. Go.
So like, we were just having a conversation. Yeah. So.
He did you hear the tension in Bo's voice when he was talking, like, his first question to Ryan Blaney?
Could just hear the importance and the care you were putting into making sure you got it all out immediately.
Yeah, there you go.
Showed him the respect and the fandom that you have for him.
A little auctioneer vibe there.
It's adorable, though, because it shows how much you cared about talking to Ryan Blaney, and I completely understand that. I've talked to people that way before when I'm a huge fan.
What's the most starstruck you've ever been? Like, it doesn't have to necessarily be an interview. Like, you ever just meet somebody and you're like, oh, dear God.
I feel like Blake Shelton was just, and I expected him.
Reasonable.
Because he can be a little, not snippy, but sarcastic and jokey. He's quick. And so I was a little bit on guard, and he was just so warm and welcoming.
That's awesome.
I didn't expect that.
That's awesome. Huge fan of his as well. I was that way, and this wasn't in a media capacity, but the first time I ever met Bobby Bowden was at a hostess stand at a Cracker Barrel in Birmingham, which is just
random.
So random, but also spot on for Bobby Bowden. And he was in, like, you know, a nice suit, and he was, I don't know if he was coming back from church or something like that, and he had an event. He was honoring Nick Saban later that night in Birmingham, but I wasn't going to say anything to him, and I was walking out with a couple of my college teammates. I was already in the NFL, and I was exiting the Cracker Barrel, and the most Bobby Bowden thing you've ever heard in your life, he looks at me and points at me and goes, well, dadgum, son, who do you play football for?
Oh, that's cool.
And I stopped in my tracks. And guess what the only word that I got out of my mouth was, Falcons? And then I just looked at my friends. I was like, y'all are going to have to talk because I'm just starstruck. I'm tongue-tied at this point. So, yeah, Bobby Bowden was that way. I was kind of that way with Chipper Jones, too. But
I think with Chipper, I wouldn't. He came in the studio a few times. I wouldn't interact with him at the old radio station. And then I had to bring him up one day, and he was, like, really cool to me. And I was like, oh, man, this is like – and I've obviously texted with him. I got the coolest thing ever. I'll tell this. When Smoltz and Chipper, they went in at different times, but when they both got elected – into the Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame, I had booked both of them guys numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I text them both. Like, when that time was like, hey, Bo Morgan said radio, I think I was with this station for one of them and maybe the other one for the other. And I just said, you know, I said, where was I? Like, you've had on your show. Growing up in Atlanta, huge fan. I just wanted to say congratulations. They both responded. And that was really cool for me. I also text Anthopoulos when he made the three trades in 2021. We had just had him on the show. And right before the trade deadline, right after the trade deadline. So that happened, it passed, and then he came on later that afternoon when I was doing Dukes and Bellas producing. So I would interact with Alex, and I'd just text, and that nor than I do now, and I just text him and goes, dude, said who I was. He goes, yeah, I know. And I was like, dude, I love these trades. I hope they work. And I remember that to this day.
I hope they work. He's like, me too, dude. And me too.
And obviously they did. So I've had some cool moments, but I do remember real quick, I do remember seeing Chuck Liddell at a Super Bowl party in 2010 in Dallas. And meets me and my buddy Evan, who lived in Dallas at the time. And we walked by and Chuck like brushed shoulders with me, and I was like, Iceman!
Yeah.
Because I'm a big UFC guy. And
I just shoulder checked Chuck Liddell. And I just pushed him into the boards.
He's like, Are you gonna say something to him? And I was like, no.
Yeah. That's gonna do it for us here on the Morning Shift today. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. You can catch back up on all the things we talked about today. We got through the first 10 of the top 20 most important players for the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of fun today. You guys can keep up with all the latest in Atlanta sports on the Odyssey app, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you guys have a great holiday tomorrow. We'll be right back at you. Same time, same place, as always, 6 a.m., Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And
stay cool, Atlanta.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.